From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue the series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for today is found in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 24. His bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. That strength which God gives to his Josephs is real strength. It is not a boasted valor, a fiction, a thing of which men talk, but which ends in smoke. It is true, divine strength. Why does Joseph stand against temptation? Because God gives him aid. There is naught we can do without the power of God. All true strength comes from the mighty God of Jacob. Notice in what a blessedly familiar way God gives this strength to Joseph. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Thus God is represented as putting his hands upon Joseph's hands, placing his arms on Joseph's arms. Like as a father teaches his children, so the Lord teaches them that fear him. He puts his arms upon them. Marvelous condescension! God Almighty, eternal, omnipotent, stoops from his throne and lays his hand upon the child's hand, stretching his arm upon the arm of Joseph, that he may be made strong. This strength was also covenant strength, for it is ascribed to the mighty God of Jacob. Now, wherever you read of the God of Jacob in the Bible, you should remember the covenant with Jacob. Christians love to think of God's covenant. All the power, all the grace, all the blessings, all the mercies, all the comforts, all the things we have flow to us from the wellhead through the covenant. If there were no covenant, then we should fail indeed. For all grace proceeds from it as light and heat from the sun. No angels ascend or descend, save upon that ladder which Jacob saw, at the top of which stood a covenant God. Christian, it may be that the archers have sorely grieved you and shot at you and wounded you, but still your bow abides in strength. Be sure, then, to ascribe all the glory to Jacob's God.
Exalting you, I come before your throne, rejoicing.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Romans as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Cry of the Captive. The text is found in chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, a passage which describes the spiritual conflict of the Apostle Paul. Dr. Cairns has emphasized that these verses do not represent the normal Christian life. Rather, they relate circumstances which virtually every believer encounters in his spiritual experience. From the law, believers know how they ought to live, but the law cannot give the power to do what it demands. As Dr. Cairns will explain, there is another law in the Christian's body, the law of sin. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called The Cry of the Captive.
I believe to be saved. I'm justified by faith, but yet I'm trying to be sanctified by law. That's inconsistent. And as long as we're trying to do that, we're not living by the faith of the gospel. And therefore, Paul says, verse 18, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. Now listen, and again, have you not felt this? To will is present with me. Now this verb, is present, means literally to lie beside me. And it's used twice in this chapter. It's used in verse 18, what's good. It's used in verse 21, what's evil. There's something lying beside us. He said, now, I don't need to go to the ends of the earth to find out what's good. I'm a Christian. I know what's good. And I'm going to make this statement to you. In the vast majority of things, there may be things that are very convoluted. Remember Mr. Pinkston doing a series of lectures at my request on bioethics and the things that will come up in this highly technological age that will face us with decisions that are very difficult to come to. And there may be things like that that require a lot of searching of the scripture. But for the most part, You have no difficulty when you're facing the issues of life in knowing what is good and what is evil. No difficulty whatsoever. To will is lying right beside me. That's what he's saying. To will, to do good, that's right with me. To choose the good, and that's easy. That's easy. Every time you've responded to an appeal to pray more, give more, read more, witness more, give yourself to the service of the Lord, what have you done? You've been choosing. And I'm not for a moment questioning the sincerity of the choice. To will, to choose, to resolve. These things are right beside us. But doing, there's the rub. Doing is a different matter entirely. Watch as he goes on to verse 19. The law can tell you to do what's right. The good that I would, I do not. The evil which I would not or don't desire, that I do. If I do what I would not, it's no more I, but sin that dwelleth in me. What's he saying? The law can tell me where to go, what to say, what to do. But while I agree with it, it doesn't help me to achieve holiness. All it does is convict me. Now follow me. The character of the law is not enough to make it able to sanctify. The conviction of the law is not enough to make it able to sanctify me. Verse 21 to 23 teaches me clearly that captivity is the wretched result of every attempt to be sanctified by the law. Read these verses carefully. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I want you to notice this carefully, for here we have again all experienced what Paul is describing. As soon as we resolve to do good, evil rises up. Remember what I said in verse 18, that the Greek verb here appears in verse 21 again? You see, to will to do good is lying beside me. But as soon as I will to do good, he says, and I'm going to give you the literal rendering of the Greek of verse 21, I find then a law to me who wills to do the right. Evil lies beside me. You see what he's saying? As soon as I resolve to do the right thing, there's this law that evil is beside me immediately. And as soon as we choose the right, as soon as we resolve to do what's right, evil rises up and the hindrance is there, always in our way. Now we delight in God's law, we delight in it. But there is a very different law. When he says, I see another law, verse 23, there are two words that may be translated another. One means another of the same. If you speak of one child and then you speak of another, well, it's still a child, presumably still human. So it's another of the same. But there is a different word that means another that's totally different, of a very different kind, and that's what he's talking about here. There's a law that's another law of a very different kind, an evil force, an evil principle, an evil rule that opposes our delight in the law and opposes our resolve to obey it. Now let me give you a question and answer. Question, what is this evil principle? He calls it the law of sin. What is that? It's indwelling sin. It's the flesh. Question two, how does it operate? He tells us in verse 23, it's in my members warring against the law of my mind. That is the effect of the law of God in my mind. The law of God instructing, enlightening my mind. This law comes along and it opposes it through the members of my body, in my members. It's using the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, the feelings of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, to stop our thoughts, to obstruct or distract our thinking away from the light of the gospel, and to stir up the passions of the mortal body. That's how it operates. Now, Romans 6 has already talked about this. Do not allow sin to reign in your mortal body. Question is, how are we to do that? And Paul's answer here is, not by the law. For every attempt, and I want you to see the absolute failure of this, every attempt to be holy by law will lead you to bondage. You see what it says here in verse 23, this other law in the members warring against the law of my mind, what does it do? It brings me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Leading into captivity, that's a very strong verb in the original New Testament. It's a military term. It means making one a prisoner of war. Literally, it would indicate taking somebody at the point of a spear. And if you're trying to be holy by principle, by rule, by regulation, by law, you will end up a prisoner of war. This is taking up the thought of Romans chapter 6, verse 13, where the apostle tells us that we're not to yield our members as instruments, as weapons. He's talking about us being in a warfare. Don't use your body as weapons of sin. We're in a war. And sin, the flesh, that evil principle of corruption that flows from Adam, that's still able to use your body because the body has not yet entered in to the benefits of redemption. Listen, in that war, sin can still use your flesh as a weapon. And the law cannot stop it. You can resolve, you can choose, you can decide, you can wish. At the end of the day, the result is that you're a prisoner of war. Now let me stop there. When I look across this gathering tonight, I see faces, I can't see hearts. But God can. And I just wonder how many people there are here tonight, and they're sitting in this church, you've sung the great hymns, and as best you can, you've listened to me through what, by anybody's calculation, is a series of statements that are difficult. You've given all your attention, and when you've got to this, you've said, that's exactly where I am. I'm a prisoner. A defeated prisoner in this war with sin. Is this the best there is? That's where Lloyd-Jones was right. This is not the best there is. This is not the usual Christian life. This is not something that you cannot transcend. Is there no answer? Last night as I sat in my study pondering this, my mind went to the old gospel hymn, Is There Anyone Can Help Us? I don't very often wax poetic. I often tell folks, I was born with the soul of a Philistine. I have no poetry in my soul. I wish I did. But as I thought of that hymn, some words came to my mind, and it seemed to me to be the very question that sums up Romans chapter 7. Is there anyone can help us who has power to conquer sin? Who can chase away its misery by His grace? One whose hand can reach and save us from the wretchedness within. who will light our way to victory with His face? Yes, there's one. There's only one. The blessed Jesus, He's the one. When from weakness and deep grief you long for sweet relief and you need a friend to help you, He's the one. He's the one. And that's where Paul now brings us. Because the last two verses tell us that Christ, not the law, is the only way of liberty and victory. But that liberty and victory must be maintained in the face of constant conflict with the flesh. Verse 24 is the cry of the captive. In fact, I titled this whole message, The Cry of the Captive. Oh, wretched man that I am, a man beset with misery and woe and failure and defeat and sadness and frustration, knowing the good but so often not living up to it, having light but not living up to it, wanting, desiring, yearning, praying, trying, urging and yet failing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Listen, sin and defeat make for wretched, miserable Christians. Listen, the unsaved man can be happy in the wickedness of the world. In fact, he is like the sow who has gone to wallowing in the mire. He's in his element. But a Christian is a wretched and a miserable figure when he's defeated, living under bondage. It's a living death. In fact, I will go so far, and this is not, and again, if you don't understand this, I doubt that you know much of saving grace. There are times when a Christian is struggling with this, struggling with himself, and he cries out to God, Lord, I would rather be dead than to do this. I'd rather be dead than to go through this. Is there nothing more? This is a living death. And this body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, so susceptible to sin that it's a body in which this death is working. This deadly sin that's reigning in the members of the body. Is there anyone can help us? I thank God. Here we come out of the darkness, out of the delusion of being sanctified by law. Here we come to being delivered. I thank God. I thank God what? I thank God that He shall deliver us. How shall He do it? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does the word shall deliver? What does that mean? Is it present or is it future? I believe it's both. There is a future deliverance from the very presence of sin when Romans 8:23 is fulfilled at the resurrection. But there is a present victory. Young man, young woman, older Christian, get this. There is a present victory. Today, there is victory for the child of God. Romans chapter 7 leads us to see we can't be justified by the law. We can't be sanctified by the law. But listen, we shall be sanctified by the very one who justified us, and on the very same basis through faith in His merit. You see that? How God delivers us is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.